Hi, Gunnar Ted Armstrong. Every now and then someone writes to me and wants my $10,000 check. That's the $10,000 check I've been advertising for about 27 years that I will give to anyone who can show me the words, quote, the immortality of the soul, end quote, in the King James Bible. But you know, people either don't listen very carefully, or else they think I would be willing to send them a $10,000 check for some completely different scripture which doesn't say anything of the kind. And one of the most commonly cited areas of all of the Bible is the 16th chapter of the book of Luke, and the story Jesus told of the famous beggar Lazarus, who lay at the gate of a sumptuously faring rich man who sat at his banquet tables, gorging himself with all of the delicacies and the great gourmet foods, while Lazarus finally died. Now, as a result of all of those questions, and because of a keen interest in that subject, I've written quite an extensive brochure or booklet on the question, is Lazarus in heaven? Probably the best-known alleged resident, the way a lot of people think of it, in heaven, is the famous beggar Lazarus. Millions, of course, have heard the story of Lazarus and the rich man, much embellished and with impassioned attacks against the unfeeling, insufferable hauteur of the rich and their disdainful contempt for the plight of the poor. And that famous parable of Luke 16 seems to say to a lot of people that Lazarus died and went to heaven. What it really does say is something very different from that. And in this brochure, which you can have by return mail absolutely free of charge, is Lazarus in heaven? The entire story from Luke 16 is published. Then what the parable does not say, what is the state of the dead? What is death? What happened when the beggar died? The Bible gives that answer, and I've gone over that very thoroughly in the last couple, three programs in this brief series. What is Abraham's bosom? The Bible says that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Now, I've explained that several times in a program already, and I won't repeat it for those of you that might have missed the first couple. Just write for the brochure, and you'll get the full explanation from the Bible by return mail free of charge. Also, we went through, where is Abraham? If Lazarus is supposed to be in his bosom, then is Abraham in heaven, and why did Jesus say, centuries and centuries after the death of Abraham, centuries after the death of such righteous man as David, who wrote the Psalms and was called a man after God's own heart, and Jesus said, no man hath ascended into heaven, and the book of Acts, in the words of the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost, the very day the church was built, he speaks of David and says, David is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher remains with us to this day. And he said, and I quote, David is not ascended into the heavens. That's Acts 2, 29 to 34. So we find that Abraham is not in heaven, and David isn't in heaven, and Lazarus is not in heaven. But yet this story in Luke, the 16th chapter, seems to indicate to some people that Lazarus went to heaven. Well, what is the answer? Does the Bible contradict itself? Does the Bible have some areas where there are serious errors and mistakes and omissions and so on and contradictions, and you just sort of believe which part of it you want to believe, but the rest of it is maybe a little bit filled with error or maybe even an outright lie? Do you believe that? Some people do, apparently. But the Bible says that it is the Word of God, that it's absolutely a completely interdependent, intricately interwoven, harmonious, inspired work, that God was able to inspire man, that God was able to preserve it and protect it and bring it down through the ages, untrammeled and completely incorruptible, so that we can have it today. Now, we learned in a recent program also, and I'm quoting from the brochure that you can have by return mail, about what happened to Abraham. We read in Genesis 25, 7 or 9, how Abraham died in a good old age, an old man, full of years, and was gathered unto his people, and his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah. And also we read in Hebrews 11, 13, in the famous faith chapter, speaking of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, many other righteous men of the Old Testament, it said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Now, the promises given to Abraham were not only promises that he would inherit a great slice of physical, geographical territory, but also the promises of the very kingdom of God. For example, in Romans, the 4th chapter, it said of Abraham and the promise that was given to him, verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Notice what that promise was, that he should be heir of the world, it says in Romans, the 4th chapter, and verse 13. Now, if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, so wrote the Apostle Paul to the Gentiles in Galatians 3:29. So the promise, you might say, to all peoples, regardless as to what race or color, from where they come on the face of the earth, is of eternal life in the kingdom of God, but it must be inherited by becoming, figuratively, a child of Abraham, a spiritual Israelite, spiritually circumcised, as it says in Jeremiah 4:4, having to do with the condition of the human heart, which has to do with repentance of sin, with receiving the very Spirit of God, and has nothing to do with physical circumcision or the physical works, meaning the ergon, the deeds of the law, of washings and meat and drink offerings and all of the law that was a schoolmaster that led those people to Christ. It is through faith, it is through the belief in the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, but it is also following the example of such righteous men as Abraham. Abraham is said to be dead. He is said to be secure for the kingdom of God. Jesus told the Pharisees, you will see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. But today, where is Abraham? He's dead, he's buried, and it says in Hebrews 11:13, he died in faith, not having received the promise. Now, I've proved to you that the promise is being the heir of the world. The promise is the inheritance of eternal life, and Abraham hasn't yet received that promise. And Jesus walked the earth centuries after Abraham and said, he's not up there. Heaven is empty of human beings. There aren't any souls of Abraham or these people. And notice the Bible doesn't say Abraham's soul went someplace, but his body died. It says Abraham died. Now notice what the Bible says about the state of death and about the resurrection, about what's going to happen when Jesus Christ of Nazareth comes back. It said through the words of Job, man dieth and wastes away. That's what happens when we're buried. Yea, man expires, and there's an old King James Hebrew expression that has to do with breathing out your last breath, and where is he? And then Job says, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time, Job said, will I wait, showing that being dead, being in complete oblivion, gradually wasting away, gradually decomposing, is like a waiting period of complete and total rest, of absolute oblivion, unconscious of the passage of time. He said, the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. You will call, and I will answer you. You will have a desire to the work of your hands, at Job 13:10-15. And just like Job, Lazarus is waiting. He is not yet resurrected. How do I know that? Because of what the Bible says. Notice 1 Corinthians 15:22-23. Would you admit, if you read the 16th chapter of Luke, that Lazarus was a righteous man? He is typified by Jesus Christ as being a righteous person. Not only poor, the lesson, of course, has been lost on a lot of people. The real lesson of the parable has nothing to do with immortality or heaven or hell. It really is a lesson about the haughty rich who do not really have the attitude that they should toward the poor. That's all Jesus really meant by it. But because of the misunderstanding, you need to go almost around by the mulberry bush and the North Pole through dozens of scriptures in the Bible to try to prove to people that, look, this parable, this story, if you think it was a real story, that's fine. If you think it was a parable, that's fine. It doesn't really matter to the sense of it, as you will see in the brochure if you write for it, on Lazarus. But this was not because Jesus was trying to teach people all about the immortality of the soul or the mortality of the soul or about an ever-burning hell or a never-burning hell, or about whether people go to heaven or hell when they die. That wasn't the intent and the purpose of that parable at all. And certainly, that brief story does not knock in the head all the plain, incontrovertible scriptures of the entirety of the Bible, especially those that Jesus himself gave us. when he talked about the time is going to come when all that are in their graves, they that have done good, that includes Lazarus, shall come forth unto the resurrection of life. That's in John the 5th chapter. Now I know it says in 1 Corinthians 15, 22 and 23, what is the order? What is the time order? When is Lazarus going to come up? And it says this in the Word of God, quote, "For as in Adam all die, just like Lazarus died, even so in Christ," and that's language having to do with Christians who are converted, "shall all be made alive." They're not alive now. They will eventually be made alive, but every man in his own order, meaning at the appropriate time. Christ the first fruits. It says that in Romans 8, that he is the firstborn among many brethren. And in 1 Corinthians 15, 22 and 3, it says Christ is the firstfruits. Afterward, when will Lazarus come up? When will Abraham come up? When will David come up? Are they alive now? Are they conscious now? Are they in heaven now? Absolutely not. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Many other scriptures like that in the Bible. It absolutely proves it. Notice in John 5, 28 and 29, I mentioned in passing briefly a moment ago, Jesus said this, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves," including Lazarus, "shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good," including Abraham and Lazarus, "unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil," and that includes the rich man, "unto the resurrection of judgment or damnation," as the Bible says. You need to read that very clearly. And the brochure has it all put together for you, every one of these scriptures, including the one that talks about us being in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, asking the question, where will the Lord be when he comes? And then answering with the scriptures that tell us in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. Also explained in the brochure, what happened to the rich man? It says in the Bible, Luke 16, 22, the rich man also died and was buried. Do you know there's a place in this brochure explains it to you, where it talks about two cities who suffered the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, what is eternal fire? You know which cities they were? It talked about, this is in Jude, the 7th verse, the little short book of Jude just before the book of Revelation. It says, and I quote, "Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." Now, almost like a nuclear blast, they were disintegrated. They were burnt up. Do you know that archaeologists believe they have found the old foundation stones? You know where the stones are? They're seen beneath the waters of the southern reaches of the Dead Sea. Question. Are the fires still burning that burnt up Sodom and Gomorrah? They were fires from an eternal source, but they did just what fires do in your fireplaces. They burnt up all which they fed upon. Right for this booklet is Lazarus in Heaven. It's free of charge. It really clears up a lot of questions for you about whether the soul is immortal, about whether there is an ever-burning hell, and also request my free booklet on the subject, Are There Immortal Worms in Hell? The question, are there immortal worms, and is Lazarus in heaven? Absolutely free of charge. Till next time, this is Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.